going to the chapel and we're questioning our manhood. Yeah. What is my basketball team gonna say about this shiny mug? Yeah.
Love wins. And RuPaul is ready to marry some straight couples.
I love heterosexuality. It's the makeover challenge. And y'all wanted a twist, eh? Well, the gals think they're going to make over some beautiful women, but then they find out they're making over some gruff grooms into beautiful brides.
Who goes to Drag Race and doesn't know how to sew? Plenty of people, it seems.
Girl, of course. And Jocelyn has to not only overcome her fashion choices, but also turn her bride's closed-minded attitude into a fierce diva. Does she succeed?
Whoop, 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 whoop. Trend alert. Leaving the runway to vomit. A new episode of Race Chaser Classic happening right now.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser. Woo-hoo. Race Chaser. Yeehaw. Race Chaser. Woo-hoo. Race Chaser. Yeehaw.
Every now and then, there's an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race that is too scandalous, too steaming, too piping, to be aired on streaming services, and is scrubbed completely from the internet. Willem, does that mean we're not going to review that episode?
No. We're podcasters. No. Podcasters who spelunk through the annals of the internet and the anals of our listeners.
So please, join us now for this very special, forbidden episode of Race Chaser.
Classic! Dum, 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 dum. Yes. Hello.
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 Hello. And welcome back to Race Chaser
Classic.
A podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. Starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name is Alaska. What is yours?
Hello, I'm Willem. I'm so glad we got this episode. This episode was hard to find. If you don't know what we're talking about, it's been scrubbed from the internet, but it's a good one.
Yes. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But, I mean, you'll still enjoy it, even if you haven't seen it since it came out. I think you'll still understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I mean,
and for those of you who press play on the episode at the beginning of pressing play on the podcast, this might throw you off a little bit this week, and we apologize for that.
last week, the girls were playing Whore of Fortune, guessing letters on Scruff Pru Pit Asses, and then Rue asked them
to... Did you say Whore of Fortune?
Yeah, because like wheel, but it's got two of the same letters.
Okay.
The girls were interviewing
Scruff Crew Pit Asses is also what you said.
Scruff Crew Pit Asses. Yep. They all got pits in them.
She said.
Sometimes
what she
people
said.
Suck the pit. After the cherry's gone, you suck on the pit. Anyway, the girls were interviewing Chaz Bono and Georgia Holt, and they were a few degrees away from Cher, and Courtney killed the challenge. Trinity and Adore kind of floundered a little bit, so Trinity lip synced Adore and then Adore got to stay in the funky game. Vibology. So that brings us to Drag My Wedding, which is a makeover episode that you're going to love. The girls start the episode by walking in, and TKB leaves a cute little message.
She says, be cool, be nice, be you. XO TKB. A classy queen, a classy exit. And I have a feeling... we haven't seen the last of her. Maybe she'll show up on All Stars.
We haven't seen
the
last of her. What if we did a game where it was all guessing who the exit lines were?
Oh,
that would be great trivia.
That would
because
be
there's
really
at least a hundred. There's at least 160, but some of us would know.
Oh my gosh, that's such a good idea.
Yeah,
I already have them all in all the outlines.
Put it in the file.
Put it in the file.
Courtney is very happy that she won the challenge, and she says she wants to have a talk show when she grows up. And honey, I have a feeling she does have one. One plus one.
Mm-hmm. Which is also a math show.
Right. A math show. Oh, math,
math
show.
Math. Yes. Hard A. Not hard, okay. Hot ice.
Yes.
Hard A.
Yes, 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 yes.
Bianca and Courtney are getting a little snippy because they mentioned that the girls are like, well, the only two that haven't lip synced are Bianca and Courtney. And Courtney's like, well, how about this be a dance challenge so I can be safe and Bianca can be in the bottom and then I'll just be the only one that hasn't lip synced.
Oh, now you're really shady, Ava Perone, who looks like a sad bird.
the insult is so direct and couldn't
it's
be more
so
precise
specific.
And wonderful. I
Eva
love Bianca.
Ava Perone, who looks like a sad bird, is what Bianca is calling Courtney. And she went the whole day without saying it, so you know that
she
had
it
in the chamber.
It. You know she said it in an interview, too. Old sad bird, Evita. Sad bird, Evita.
She took that bullet and put it in the gun, and she was ready all day with it. And it wasn't until the end of until the beginning of the next episode that she was like, oh, yeah, well, you look like a sad bird and Eva Perone, bitch. The next day, Courtney tells everyone that she remembers being a magician's assistant and her rat testicle popped out when she was hiding in the box for a treat.
And they were like, your right testicle? And she said,
your rat testicle.
Rat testicle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Honey, we've all been there.
All been
and
there.
Then we get a video message from RuPaul that says, beep, boop, 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 boop. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the presence of,
yes God.
God. Say I do, and I might just pronounce you America's next drag superstar. You may now kiss the mother-tucking bride.
Girl, RuPaul. RuPaul comes coming up in the workroom. She doesn't even knock anymore. She just says, she comes in and she says, the girls need to pad out a bodysuit for their mini challenge and create abstract paintings. Like
yes,
body paintings.
A twerk of art.
Mm-hmm.
Darian Lake comes in immediately with, we're going to go shake our Monet makers.
Foreshadowing Monet exchange.
Right, exactly.
Uh-huh. So RuPaul's on a soundstage with 6 empty canvases on the floor, and the girls paint their bodies. Courtney looks like a Braveheart. She just goes half and half. And the other girls just make messes. Courtney's the only thing I could see something in her body.
Yeah.
She knows the value of negative space.
This is a fun challenge. I mean, it's a mini challenge, so it's frivolous. It doesn't really mean anything, but it's really an opportunity for RuPaul to throw out, or really Tom Campbell, to throw out every art pun that you can imagine. Lady Dada, Andy Warhol.
Uh-huh.
Tyra Banksy, stop relying on that Botticelli. There's some really good ones.
Yeah, they're it's a pun laden mini challenge.
Yes.
I see it as a challenge of which wig do you want to ruin with paint?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna ruin some of your shit.
Yeah. Wear something that will be ruined.
The winner is Bianca Del Rio, and she has two columns with love going through it or something. I don't know.
Yes, one represents industry, the other represents government, and the heart expands and rises above them both. In betwixt.
I love it. It's great. I'm eating it up. The painting shit, though. RuPaul invites 6 girls back into the workroom, and tomorrow she's telling that she's going to be marrying people.
Mm-hmm.
And
then Bianca, who was the winner of the mini challenge, assigns the ladies to the queens. Do you think this was fair pairing?
I think the pairing is fair, and I love that they flip it even more, and the control that they thought they gave Bianca, they didn't.
None.
It's
not
a fake prize, because then the girls are all fucked, because RuPaul says, you're going to make over the brides. You're going to make over the grooms into brides. And then she reveals that through the magic of Fabric Planet, these men are going to become women and walk the runway as their new drag daughters. It's a family resemblance challenge, too.
Yes. And the queens are all gagged. And the queens are like, but I don't know how to sew.
The, And the queens are supposed to be mother of the bride. I've never seen like a challenge where they specifically said, now be dowdy. Like Jocelyn has like a fake nude panel, like that doesn't match above her runway.
Well, it's very enough mother of the bride. About fake nude panels. We have had enough hoopla regarding fake nude illusion panels on this pod.
You're right.
You're right.
You're right. I went to Reddit. You're right.
I don't know what happens.
Bianca.
I swear I watched it. I really did.
Bianca's.
Well, can you give a little bit of insight on the bait and switch?
The bait and switch is a reality TV tactic that has been used since reality TV was invented.
But I mean, this specific one, like, do you think the queens were really surprised? Do you think they thought they were going to do the women?
Yes. And they got me together.
How much for the women?
They got me together because I was watching this and I was like, oh, I guess I didn't remember it right. I guess they make over the women. Like, they really got me together. And then they were like, oh, but bring in these burly men with beards. And these are the ones that you're going to be making over.
It was pretty gag-gonzoled. Adore says she doesn't do other people's makeup. She doesn't sew. She literally is freaking out. She puts her hands over her face. She's at the point where, like, she doesn't even want a camera to see what she's going through.
And the bride is like, oh, my God, are you okay?
Like,
the bride's looking around at producers
day?
Like, can I get a different faggot to do my wedding?
Like, literally.
Bianca's treating it like her, like, consult, like an intake for a client. She's drawing sketches. She's like, she's making everyone feel happy. And the she's bride really being happy is, like, the biggest thing. And she recognizes that.
Now, Jocelyn's bride is really trepidatious about the whole process. Mm-hmm. And he's like, don't call me pretty. No, I don't want to wear hip pads. No. Like really just like sort of seeing what all of this entails and is like, I don't fucking want to do this. And we see that happening.
Yeah, I feel like he felt like it might have been a fun idea or his girl convinced him or somebody convinced him to do it. And then when he got there and he saw all the pink on all the walls, it became a little too real. And then he was worried about his teammates on his basketball team, like seeing it and like the locker room chat. And
yeah.
And that's just the first of the trepidation. Later, he gets kind of offensive, but, you know, different time, different whatever. But we'll get into that. But he does not want to be pretty. And we're going to take a break real quick.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week, you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
And under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie.
Also, you're going to want to discover the 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals.
The Factor meals were so great. I love that they came in a recyclable container and with very little waste. And the food, delicious. My taste buds had a party.
Exactly. Really good, really easy to make. Loved it.
Not a lot of cleanup because Factor Meals eliminates the hassle of the prepping, the cooking, and cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff, and you can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and then pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. And if you're looking for gourmet meals, try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/drag50 and use code DRAG50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code DRAG50 at factormeals.com/DRAG50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is still active.
So Willem, are you going to shave for this challenge?
It's been 6 years.
It's been 6 whole years. Yeah, Dayla is
13 years.
Dayla is dealing with a bride who has a hefty beard and hasn't shaved in 6 years, and whose spouse or soon to be has never seen him without a beard. So this is really going to be a deep transformation for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Also, is this the birth of chapstick and mascara? Because Dayla says in the interview chair, oh, well, Courtney's going to have a great time doing makeup on someone else because all Courtney wears is chapstick and mascara. Is that the first iteration?
I feel like Courtney probably has been saying it, and then she said it in the workroom, and then someone said it. Or maybe Ben did make it up because he is a great writer. She is a great writer.
Who knows?
But Darian's bride?
Yeah.
First of all, I know Anna, the bride, and I know her husband. And they're very they come to all the shows. Their daughter Pixie listens to the podcast. They're awesome. They're like Hollywood friends. She's very like with the band.
She's the very rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. That's her
girl.
Bride. And Darian has her as their wedding couple. And they're talking about, like, what do you want to do for your groom? And she's like, oh, let's go goth. And then
make
she
her
said,
look like Detox or Sharon.
Bury that. She used to come to the Trans K show, so she knows. Darian's like, okay. I love a point of view. Like,
exactly.
Not steptoeing around like Joanne's bride.
Right. I love that people think that Detox is goth. I see her as like intense and severe, but always like bright colors.
Now, but she wore a lot of black, and like when she has her ass out and she's doing I Wanna Fuck You Like an Animal in a black wig, that immediately skews goth.
Yeah, she does.
Or a black blow up wig.
I love Detox.
Sometimes, me too. Detox is the best.
Courtney
trying to farm out her challenge work. She says, it's not Courtney's outfit is looking what's a nice
well
word?
A honey mahog body.
Honey mahog body. Very that. It's
there's
no curves, no swerves. It's a potato.
Right. Adore is telling her guy, I'm going to beat your face. And the guy's like, wait, whoa, hold on. What do you mean by that, bitch? isn't quite that upset about it. But he's like, you're going to punch me in the face? I love it. Those are the moments that we want in an episode like this.
Mm-hmm.
Those misunderstandings. RuPaul comes in the room and says, attention, women. It's time for your fittings from her tuxedos. And the grooms leave. So now it's just the queens and the dolls and the making's over and the making over. The shade is flying between Darian and Courtney.
Darian
and everybody.
Darian must have been in the interview chair twice as long as everybody else, because she has something shady to say about everybody.
She does.
And it's always funny.
But it's always funny.
Darian says that Courtney is having trouble making her costumes for her bride makeover because she doesn't make her own looks, and all the dragons she has is teeny tiny. Oh, and then Darian goes, you don't have something for her, am I saying? Size 16 or something. And it's just true and hilarious.
She's so funny. And then RuPaul comes in for the walkthrough with the Goyles. Mm-hmm. Hey, Rosie Q, says Jocelyn. Who, and again, Brandon, he says he's a basketball player. And RuPaul is joking and says, what will your teammates say? And he's like, they'll be devastated. This is...
Didn't you see Ladybugs? This always works.
Joanna Man?
This is Joanna Man. No. This is, though, why toxic masculinity is so,
sexy.
Like, damaging.
Oh. Yeah.
What did you say?
Huh?
It's so damaging, and it is so toxic because... you end up seeing the effects of like he would have been fine doing this experience and having this marriage happen and be what it is. He would have been fine if it weren't for his toxically masculine basketball guys who aren't even there, but just the very thought of them is making him like full of fear and anxiety and like not want to be part of this.
The very thought of Rue. I see, but maybe he foresaw in the future that he was going to be shiny metallic white. Like, she almost gave him a Tin Man sheen.
It worked for detox.
No, that was a different thing. That was EOY 2010, and then Once on the Runway.
Have your beep, Zoid, go on and wind me up.
Up. yeah, the makeup that Jocelyn is doing is not helping him. I think maybe he's seeing that and going even... further down the rabbit hole once he's be like, why am I this color? You know, the next day.
At least if I look sickening.
At least they got him back to set the next day.
Right, yeah. Right.
I don't know. Do you think Bianca helped Adore with her sewing outfit? I thought she was going to go over and be like, let me help you.
She was like, why don't you just put it how you want to put it and then sew it? Like, which is basically the whole thing. That is what sewing is.
Yeah.
Is putting the fabric where you want it. Adore does not know how to do it. I thought for a second this was going to be... she put the look on... she put the ensemble on the mannequin. She couldn't get it off the mannequin. I offered to help her, and she said no. That was Gia Gunn, though, earlier in the season with Adore.
Oh.
Putting the ensemble. Adore sewing is not her strongest suit.
No.
Her strongest suit!
Courtney is mock shock that Bianca's bride is wearing a boat neck gown. And for translation, that is a boat neck gown.
Right. I'm surprised.
Gown.
I think they all went a little bit ham in the shade factor.
They made a TV show.
I feel like the girls maybe like right before they walked into the workroom said to each other, like, should we really just kind of pick on each other a little bit more today? Because everyone is going wild with the shade this episode.
I mean, we had shade every day, all day.
Well, yeah, because you were there.
No, it wasn't me. It was a lot of girls were just yelling whatever they wanted to yell.
Don't you think it's also like, you know, when you want to like show off for your friend?
Oh, like right. There's someone else in the room.
Right.
I think, yeah, I think that could definitely be it as well. These queens are shady elephants. The next day, the shade has rubbed off onto Adore's bride, who is throwing shade,
honey,
casting dust and aspersions all across the
workroom. That wig had dust and spores. According to him, he said it looked like a thrift store wig. Adore pulls out this raggedy black wig, which honestly looks great on the runway once it's on. And he says it looks like a thrift store wig.
Shady bastard.
Wow, that looks like a thrift store wig.
And he's wearing a Doors jacket on stage.
He really, he speaks like a drag queen. He, a Doors bride is definitely the most honorary actual drag queen of the group because he speaks like, I mean, it's like the ghost of Gia Gunn has literally taken over this man's
thrift store wig.
It looks like a thrift store wig.
I bought my first wig at a thrift store.
I love that.
I don't know if I'm a black hair girl.
Oh my god.
There's always one in the bunch.
Your drag daughter's got your natural hog body. That's a compliment.
Fuck no, you. It's not.
Seeing Adora and her daughter making you feel really confident.
With that fucking honey mahogany dress?
Better than a honey mahogany body.
Wow.
All the girls are like, and then Courtney's like, you like
Courtney's
that?
Courtney's little smirk.
Making television for Miss RuPaul Charles. That was that,
like,
smirk.
If you want a villain, I'll give you one.
And how?
And
how,
I'm going to give her wings.
And if you're looking at this while you're watching, the way that Courtney has her hair pinned is how to obliterate a hairline. Don't put pins on the top right there. Do not do it.
Where?
She's got a crosshatch right here.
Oh, right in the center.
Yeah, with ace bandage, too.
See, now I do mine back here. Mm-hmm. I used to do mine up here.
No.
In
narrow.
The front.
Narrow.
Now I do them back here.
Back here? Back there.
Jocelyn is continuing to... see that her bride doesn't like the makeup process. He's very uncomfortable with the idea that people are going
to
be seeing.
He's backing away from the brush every time she goes to put more on. He's like, ugh.
He doesn't want to do this. And it makes me wonder at what point.
How did they get him back to set for day two?
But at what point, if the person is this uncomfortable, I felt uncomfortable for him. It's like, can you replace him with somebody else?
You know,
you probably can't.
You know what happened on Drag U, right? When my girl tried to leave overnight, she got in a fight with RuPaul and Matthew, said she wouldn't wear a corset. She had to be convinced and paid to come back to set.
Maybe they did that. Maybe they paid him more.
I don't know.
Maybe they were like, hey.
Yeah. Because, like, she was going to ruin the whole episode. She was not going to come back to set the next day.
I feel like nowadays, though, they wouldn't have followed through with this. Like, they would be like, he was uncomfortable with the process, and so we made different arrangements.
I mean,
like,
he was comfortable enough.
Right?
No, because he was comfortable enough that he stayed. He could have walked free will, you know? But he
didn't.
He
tried to walk on the main stage.
He just walked out to throw up. He came back. I threw up on the main stage and I came
pulling
back.
Pulling a Willem.
It's what you do. You go throw up and then you come back.
You have broken the rules. Should we...
there's some more... Hold on. Shady shit.
I'm excited too. I really am.
I just can't believe my little girl's growing up.
Oh, shut up.
He's talking shit about you.
What? Who's talking shit about me?
Fucking Adore's daughter, Hogbody.
Don't blame
Hogbody
me.
Hogbody Delano has something to say about Madame
She's got
de la
a lot
Creme.
To say.
Well, let's hear what you have to say when you make your daughter lose the challenge, Hogbody.
I'm going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you. Stay home with me and pray.
Darian
quoting Carrie.
Comes in with a joke to lighten the tension because it was getting a little too real. Dayla took it a little.
He went there. He said,
we'll
baby, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. Learn your words.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Ben can dish it out too. Lovely. So let's bring it to the runway, shall we?
Life is a party. Runway.
Wait,
life
run
is a party.
Runway.
Party. Runway.
Party. Party. Party.
Oh, my gosh. RuPaul.
RuPaul. The hair is... After last week is a little flat, honestly. This feels like just fresh out of the tub hair.
It is. It
and the nude lip, the sequins sparkle up and like kind of like cancel her lip out sometimes when she's seated. She's so beautiful, but like this isn't my favorite RuPaul look.
It's a very soft paint. I think
soft beat.
I think because last
45
week,
minutes.
They went so sort of gloved and gowned and updo.
She's like, let me just take my hair down.
I think they went more easy breezy this week. It's like the hair is down. It's not super done. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of accessories going on. A simple light blue ice sequin paillette gown. And she looks, she looks beautiful.
You see blue? I see silver and white. Oh, you see black and gold, blue and gold?
Is this that challenge where the dress is different colors? It's light blue.
I mean, no, it's silver. Working with you is a challenge. That's what it is.
Oh my God.
That's not blue, bitch.
Okay. I get the feeling that this dress is like one of those dresses you find at the store where the front is sequined
and the back,
the back is just jersey knit.
Don't turn around.
It kind of is giving me that.
Very Joyce Leslie strawberry dots.
But you can't say she doesn't look absolutely
no,
stunning.
And she's selling it. That is the garment. You can't tell her otherwise. Don't make her put on a nail. Not in season
and
six.
And she says, I feel like champagne, or at least champagne.
The jokes with the judges' introductions.
Well, they were doing a little bit of a... do you have any tips for marriage? Yes. Never go to bed angry. Yeah, I haven't slept in six months. They were doing, you know, a character. And I love that David and Neil both dressed so stunningly. Neil is in an ivory jacket. And
satin
David,
lapel.
Yes, David is in a black tuxedo with a bow tie. They dress like they were coming to a wedding.
Yeah, gorge.
Life is a party.
Life is
David
a party.
Gurka, friend of the pod.
So let's take a break. Santino can't even put it on goddamn tie. We're taking a break.
Wait, but before we go to the break, we have to give you a misdirect. Courtney is going to be crying in the next segment, okay? She's crying. Okay, let's go to break.
Should we do that?
We are back, and Courtney Act is crying her eyes out as the mother of the bride, because she's giving away her daughter. Oh, see, it was a misdirect. She wasn't really crying.
Oh, I see.
Anyway, should we look at these looks and these brides?
We, or do we have to? We should, though. But, like, some of these looks are bad. Let's just get to them. Jocelyn's bride comes out first in all her high-lit metallic glory. Looking, being dragged. Jocelyn at one point says, come on. She looks back and says, come on. Like, then it's just,
I feel like...
The veil does help.
I feel like Bradonna's look could have benefited from him...
More veils.
Owning it more.
Oh, yeah, no, smiling,
because
owning
instantly,
it.
Because instantly, as soon as you feel, like, a little bit, like, unsure or, like, doubtful or, like, wanting to hide...
Mrs.
Like
Doubtful.
The drag, Mrs. Doubtful. It's like the drag like loses its like electricity, like it loses
its
power and just becomes a bunch of shit that's on you that you don't want to be on you.
That's where she turns. She's like, "Come on, bitch! You gonna walk or not?"
And Bradonna's poor, you know, groom who's standing at the end of the runway is like, "Oh, she looks." Oh God!
Is that Krylon?
Oh my God!
She goes, "Oof, woof." They didn't have your shade, huh, baby?
Jocelyn is just glowing. You can't tell her nothing is wrong. You
that
can't,
nude illusion
so
is wrong. But I do love that she is a spirit that is indomitable for sure.
She looks beautiful. Jocelyn looks great.
I wanted one of the girls to lift the girl's veil back, take a look, and then close the veil and leave it shut. That would have been the ultimate. That would have been the ultimate shade. Like, oof, never mind.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the looks though of the mothers of the bride? Because
Jocelyn was not great. It's the most clothes she's ever worn.
Beautiful.
It's more clothes than she wore all season. And there was a weird panel at the top. What is that panel?
She's wearing a thing underneath to make it even more conservative.
Why?
I think she looks great. And this is something an actual
mother
of the bride
would wear.
I love
it all, other than that panel. And
champagne
the arm
sequin. Champagne.
Okay. Looks beautiful. Looks like Candy Johnson.
Disagree.
I guess we will. Next up, we have the gorgeous, the lovely, the talented. Can this playback go faster? Oh, Courtney Act.
Courtney Act.
Courtney
And she's doing, this could be a case. This could be a case of when the contestant uses the good shit on themselves and then gives the scraps to their makeover. Courtney looks exquisite. She's in this beige nude illusion gown with butterflies all over it.
Mm-hmm.
And her hair is in an updo. She looks stunning.
Hundreds of butterflies. And then her bride has seven.
Six, yeah.
And they're covered. And she's got a turquoise strap over a white frilly.
The dress goes to the just below the knee.
Yeah, it's a weird length for an older bride. And Courtney reasons that it's a Louisiana wedding, like down south. And that does not go well because they're like, little girl, do you know where Louisiana is?
I will say the face looks great. I mean,
with the veil.
On Courtney's bride.
Yeah.
I think that, you know.
And they do look alike.
The critique could be that, oh, Courtney does very minimal makeup, but she obviously knows her way around doing makeup because she took this, like, man who doesn't have a tiny little bird face like Courtney and made him look really pretty. I think he looks really pretty.
I have a new drag name, Critica Sumpters.
Critica. Why don't we check out our next bride and mother of the bride?
Well,
it's Bianca.
A 2-for-1 ugly contest. I'm kidding. Well, they're both crying, and Bianca's bride looks like Chucky. Chucky got into the makeup.
You're being unfair.
No, I'm not.
I think she looks great.
The brow that Bianca put on her bride is a crime. He looks like if Pinocchio had a girlfriend. So wooden. Like, just stamped. And then this
Let me start with Bianca. Bianca looks
beautiful.
Exquisite.
Yeah.
She's in a beautiful yellow gown with a yellow flower fascinator.
Is that
and
a
her
lemon
acting
or a sunflower?
Choices. I believe it is a sunflower. I believe it was Jean-Paul Gaultier who did a series of sunflower gowns that went down the runway before she fished it out of that bargain basement bin. She looks great, and her acting choices are really great because really, they don't tell you this is an acting challenge, but it kind of is. You're playing the mother of the bride who you're giving away. Bianca's doing a great job of, I'm crying, but I'm also like holding back the tears because I don't want to be a mess. And then she pulls out the thing from her wig to like dab her tears. She's very funny, even though without a single word, she's telling a whole story. Her bride looks great. You can't outwig Bianca Del Rio. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a fabulous lace front situation going on.
And the wig is doing a lot of the work here.
Yes, it's doing the heavy lifting. Yeah. And she did a little yellow piping around the edge of the veil. The ribbon on the flowers is yellow to match Bianca. This is beautiful. Bianca knows how to make some fucking clothes.
Yeah, this is
I mean,
10.
She just does.
Yeah. Now, Darian's bride, Damon, is looking goth. He's beautiful. He looks kind of like old Khloe Kardashian.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I can see that. I think this is the prettiest one in the face. Like, naturally the prettiest face.
Yeah, gorge. I do like that Darian has, like, a moment where she takes some black color spray and sprays the bouquet black for Anna and Damon's wedding. Anna looks like the coolest groom ever. She's got like her hat tipped back and like her boobs out. She looks sexy. I love this. This is so fun seeing my friends on TV.
Darian's outfit, I'm not gagged by.
Me neither.
I'm wondering what happened actually.
And where did, I didn't even know she knew Madame LaQueer. How did she get that wig from her?
Wait a second, though. Now that I'm looking at it, she's playing the mother of this goth character. So this kind of says, like, an older woman who used to be goth, who still dresses like funky, who still has a little bit of color in her hair.
It says a lot. You're right.
I kind of get it now. I didn't get it for a second, but I kind of get it now.
I'm glad you get it.
Why don't we look at our next bride to be gotten?
And so herky jerky.
It is Adora Delantro.
They're on the runway for like 7 seconds.
It is the fastest run. It's one of those quick run.
Adora and her bride look like drug seeking teenagers at a mall. Just like, hey, mister, we're here to get married.
They're the teenage girls from White Lotus, and they're looking for their backpack.
Very that. They need to find their backpack. They look like happy-go-lucky teens. No, we're legal. Very that. Do you have a car?
That face on her bride looks like a Muppet.
It looks like Janice, but in a Rosanna Dana Dana wig. It's very Janice. But strong eye, strong lip, bold choice. You know what? I'm glad that it's strong and wrong instead of bland and not right. Yeah. Adore did her best. I do like her dress, her mother of the bride dress, but you can't make Adore look old.
You can't. I mean, you really can't. But she also wore like a very young outfit and very young hair. Mm-hmm. So I think she could have shown range and gone like motherly in this moment, but she was like, no, I'm going to be fucking Adore Delano because Adore Delano's cool.
Because she knows the motherly thing is going to be like killed by everybody else. Ben comes out next in like this perfectly tailored suit, very beautiful. Mother of the bride, peach accents on his bride. They look great.
Yes, absolutely. Dayla,
now, would you call this a peach or a nectarine?
Nobody gives a shit about that nectarine crap, Clary.
it's very cute. She's got flowers, detailing at the hip, at the bust. It's telling the eye where you want it to go and making it go there. That's what Ben's outfit does.
They had they had sort of choreographed steps. And also, I think Dayla gets points for the biggest transformation because her bride started out really bearded. The spouse had never seen him without a beard.
And now we know why he has no upper lip.
Okay. But Dayla did a great job of painting her. She looks beautiful. You can tell she feels beautiful. It's a white dress with the pink flower accents. I thought very well done. For Ben de la Cream.
He is beautiful. He knows he's beautiful. His bride is beautiful.
My colors are beautiful and I will show my colors. you know, Willem.
What?
We got through the punches like water off a duck's back. And we weren't afraid to scream out, where are my people at?
And if I've had it officially and you see me frown, just drag it up. And put on that sequence gown. Hallelujah. Honestly, the got Anna and Damon's vows just like must have placated the Drag Race like producers so much. That is so great that
so
like
funny.
They found the perfect people to get re-weddinged on. And RuPaul throws rice and says, "Everybody say love." And the girls all throw their bouquets.
Everybody say Kylie Sonique love.
Love. would you ever have a drag wedding?
No. actually, no. Actually, yes, I would. Because, I mean, if you're going to do it and have all the pictures taken, like, honey, like, why not wear a fucking big, over-the-top, crazy-ass fucking thing?
Yeah.
I was listening to someone on a podcast. It was probably on the Mom Network, but it was like, they were saying that, like, they would start out, like, I think walking down the aisle and doing that whole rigmarole in drag, big fucking veil and fucking dress and everything like that, fierce. Then for the after party, get out of drag and do, like, a tuxedo kind of, you know, moment. Mm-hmm. That is best of both worlds.
Yeah.
For me, that's what I would do.
Mm-hmm. That would
Would
be nice.
You ever do a drag wedding?
I don't know. Depends.
What'd you wear to your first wedding?
I wore a Tammy Wynette shirt that said Stand By Your Man. It was blue. It was from eBay, and I just got it. So it was my something borrowed, something blue, something old, something new, all in one. Aww. And then my ex wore a Cardinals jersey, and I blew him in the car.
That's so
it's a nice cool. wedding.
Privilege.
Wow. Everybody say Kylie Sonique love. I love that. That's never going to get old.
Now,
who goes home? Oh, do we
well,
do that yet?
Should we throw it a update?
Oh, the update. Let's take the Holland update.
Julian update.
yeah, you know that we're back on Classique, but Latrice and Manila are holding it down on the chop and informing all of us what's happened over in Europe at the Holland's Drag Race Season 2. This is
the Holland update.
Manila, what in the Sam hell is going on this day in Drag Race history?
Well, it's tomfoolery is exactly what happened, and I'm still gagged with this elimination.
Same, but the great thing is we get to chat with Kida Minaj to find out how she is doing and if she feels robbed.
Yes, we sure will. Now, Kida, how do you feel?
Well, I have no idea what she just said, but we'll find out this Thursday on The Chop.
The judges were judging.
Judges be judging. Brandonna be Brandonning.
they literally mentioned the lady gremlin.
This is why. Okay. They
is that too far?
They should not have done the critiques with the bride standing there.
No. They should have been back in the untucked room.
Because it's very hard to stand there and be told that you look gutter bucket. Even if you are a drag queen, and it is you. You have signed up and waited your whole life to be on this competition, where a big part of it is standing there getting read to filth by a judging panel.
And then he
this
throws up.
This poor child.
Poor child.
This poor child got put into drag by this white girl who didn't know how to do color match foundations. Oh, at all. Overused shimmer product. Tin manned out. And also was having like a masculinity like crisis, and then had to stand there and have Michelle say, "You look like a ghoul. You look like the Tin Man." It's no wonder he like just fucking walked off and threw up and pulled a Willem off stage.
I mean, not only it's one thing when he thought his basketball teammates were going to make fun of him, but it's another when he's like, "Fuck, I don't even look cute."
I know it's hard.
It is. It's hard to be ugly. Speaking of ugly, we got Courtney next.
He was also like trying to find the exit. It was very like in the birdcage where they put up the curtains and they can't find where the fucking door
very
is.
Bad.
It was very that. I was like watching him walk off stage and I was like, there's not an exit over there, babe. There's nothing over there. That's just a wall.
Yeah, no. Rian.
Neil actually gets up and goes and gives him like a Kleenex or a tissue.
Does he?
Aww.
Nobody did that for me.
I thought Chanel was there.
Chanel was there, but she just held back my wig. Reenact is like Leanne Rhymes.
Reenact?
Yeah, I'm getting it. That's Leanne, like Rianne. Reenact. Oh, and it's like reenacting. It took me a minute with Courtney's name, too. Now I get it. Reenact.
It works better in Australian, like Courtney Act.
Keeper. The judges thought that Courtney looked too hot to be Mother of the Bride. And Michelle
her only critique is she's too sexy, too beautiful.
Michelle never liked Courtney, and you can tell. Why did we go with this length of dress?
Yeah, why did we? Did you run out of fabric, doll face?
Honestly, it's weird. Weird and bad. Bianca has Fifi Del Rio.
Yeah.
And fuck, this guy's making Bianca look gorgeous. I'll say that. Bianca's she wasn't an easy soft birth. There were a lot of corners. She's
right.
Hard. Her daughter's hard. Fifi Del Rio is hard. But the judges agree that she nailed this look.
Santino has a note. He says, maybe if you added a train to the dress. And Bianca has a great comeback. She's like, what do you want? His balls are tucked, his dick's in his ass. I can't give him a train too.
She's very funny and playful with the judges, and they are eating it up. David said he would mistake Fifi for a woman on the street, and Ruth says, that's insane. Or no, she says, so you don't funny. Get out much.
You don't get out much, doll.
Yeah.
Darian transformed Damon into Androgyny Lake, which we love. She's feeling her oats. She feels great. She looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. And she says she might try out for the show one day.
Babies having babies. Neil said he didn't get the whole goth thing from Darian, and that Darian is his least favorite.
Wow.
I know. Harsh critiques. No shock. She's my drag daughter. She's my baby.
Harsh words.
Harsh words.
Dayla, Ben de la Creme transformed Kevin into Suzette a la mode. Okay.
I love that. It's kind of like her name, but not.
Yeah. I like it.
So cute.
The look is strong. They
Kevin's
don't have
like,
much.
Am I Kavina? You'll be Suzette. Please sit down. You'll be Suzette. Suzette, sit down. Let's practice. Suzette a la mode.
They don't have much to say negativity-wise. Santino has a few eye makeup critiques, but it is important to remember that Bendela's daughter went on to audition for season 7, and she changed her name to Tempest Du Jour, and the rest is history. So, you know, I mean, it can happen for you.
Damn. Adore's baby.
Does she even look like her?
No, because Adore did light makeup. Like, if Adore did the makeup that she wore last week when she lip synced, it would have been a family resemblance, kind of. But the best
thing, my little honey bun, Delano.
That's the best part of her, of this Adore's baby, is the name, Honey Bun Delano.
That's so cute.
It's better than Honey Boo Boo. Honey Bun Delano.
Honey Bun is a cute name.
But Honey Bun throws her mother under the bus. That's the worst. She says, after talking to Adore, we went in the punk direction. And they just read them. Tip to tail.
It's not mother daughter. There's the from top to toe, it's a mess. Oh my god. Oh, it looks like toilet paper ruched up the front of her. Oh my god. It's like a newspaper cut in a windstorm. Tin Man, Hershey Kiss, Glinda the Good Witch. Oh my god. But Adore gets the name of her album, Till Death Do Us Party, from these marriage vows.
Oh, so, work. I love that. Well, the winner is Bianca Del Rio, and she wins a trip for two to Hawaii, and so does her couple, Alex and Eddie, which is nice.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you think that, do you think Dayla could have possibly won last week and also could have possibly won this week.
I think Dayla was a close second each of these episodes. And it shows why he won All-Stars. He won five challenges in All-Stars before he was like, I'm good, I'm going.
Yeah.
He's very good at what he does. She's very good at what she does too. And
it's almost like if it was her season. Mm-hmm. She would.
It was like
she most definitely would have won those challenges.
She was definitely. She was definitely the Manila of this season.
Right. That's my little honey bun. Got a load of honey bun tonight. Wait, that's in the Queen, right?
101 pounds of fun. Eat my little honey bun. That's what you should open your pageant with next year. 101 pounds of fun.
That's my little honey bun.
And his eyes flutter up.
Honey bun tonight. Yeah,
illusions. Of the delusion. So
the confusion of my illusion. Bianca Del Rio is the winner. She wins a trip for two to Hawaii. And so does her couple, Alex and Eddie. They win a trip for two to Hawaii.
Did I say that already?
I'm sorry. I don't listen. Sorry, Chad. Now, if it wasn't for a last minute decision at the abortion clinic.
Shit. What a hard left. God bless Jocelyn. The lip sync song this week is Think by Aretha Franklin. And think.
Yes.
And Adora Jocelyn, Adora attacks the song. And she's just telling judges, you better think. You need to send me home.
Oh,
and
for sure.
She's like, I did this last week and I stayed. I'm going to stay again. And this girl's going to go home.
Wait, I wrote down in my notes that I didn't read it. That Adora's guy looked like a queen at 340 doing Xtina at the VMAs. or like Rubber Child.
Same. Damn. Damn. I love that Rubber Child is now going to be like, what phase of Amanda Lepore did you like rubber best at?
Right.
Yeah. Adora takes off her shoes during the lip sync. And Neil and David are not tipping, but they seem to be having a good time.
They're having fun. Adora's giving it her all, as she always does.
Ripped her tights on the stage.
There's such an intensity to Adora Delano. And I think that's why she gets away with kicking her shoes off. Jocelyn is doing fancy footwork because she's lifting the gown. She's giving you fancy
footwork. The sleeve on this, too. I just hate it.
It's rough to have to, like, do a number in a Mother of the Bride gown, especially when your, like, character is, like, a hoochie scoochie.
Yeah. Where can she scooch in that? I see
there's no scooching and there's no hooching.
Adore wins. RuPaul says to Jocelyn, she says, for better or worse, keep it foxy. Wonk, wonk.
Yes.
Which is a Boston shout out, I think, right?
Oh, that's very cute.
Yeah.
We love Jocelyn Fox. What a classy doll. What a classy dame. Mm-hmm. A ball of positive energy.
Yeah, love. Now, to answer a question about why this episode isn't available to stream on any network, Hulu says, sorry for any update. Due to specific streaming rights, season 6, episode 10 of RuPaul's Drag Race is not available in our library at this time. That said, we'll share your interest in seeing it added in the future. For now, be sure to keep the show in your WL, My Stuff, to stay updated.
Watch list? WL?
Maybe, I don't know. Why did they take this out? Because the guy's homophobia, or because music clearance? Song? Yeah, that's the only thing I can think is music clearance.
Or maybe Ru didn't like how she looked.
I don't know. Music clearance is what Carol Burnett show kept off the air because all that stuff didn't clear apparently.
And there was a reason that was the reason why season 1 was so unfindable for so long was because of the music. I don't know why I thought this. I thought it was because the guy, like Brandonna, didn't like being in drag on TV and literally said, I'm going to sue you if you put this out there. That's what I thought it was.
Maybe that did happen. I don't know.
If anyone has any knowledge or insight into this, please let us know.
His whole behavior seemed very cry for help the whole time. Like I feel like he was doing it to keep his woman happy. Happy wife, happy life. And he made the choice to put on the dress, and it made him so sick that he threw up. His body was rejecting the drag. His body rejected the drag so wholeheartedly it said, I'm going to throw up on the dress so you get to take it off, buddy.
Is hard.
Honey, drag. Drag is not for everybody.
Yeah.
But I think that's what happened here. And, you know, I've seen your body reject the drag, too. My body's rejected the drag once or twice. And
it goes back to the desert.
One time
nobody gets out of drag ever.
Nobody gets out of drag.
You know what? Every now and then, I want to hear some bologna.
Smooth roasted bologna with flavor.
So flavor you can taste. So this is a segment we call Banter with Bianca.
Bologna!
Now, were you aware that you were making the same dress in the same silhouette every week, or were you just in the moment and it didn't really occur to you? Was this a branding thing?
No.
Do you have legs?
I do. And but you know what's
so how many?
So let's cut it down. Three. If you cut it down, what happened was if you brace it, if you look at the scenario, I had a week and a half. So you know when you get the list, and the list is gold. The list is, you know, animal. The list mm-hmm. is whatever. So I was just pulling what I had. I mean, this was before people had all these designers that are creating these $10,000 looks. It wasn't the same right. show then. So you were just mm-hmm. grabbing everything you could. And the other thing that was horrifying, you know, the rule, 5 bags, 50 pounds. And I was like, well, can I, you know, pay for the extra? Absolutely not. It was 5 bags, 5 pounds. Well, Courtney fucking Act had 5 plastic bins and she drove there with those fucking wings. She still lost, but she drove there with those wings, which I didn't know could possibly happen. So cut to, you know, episodic wise, I didn't know when I was wearing what or what we were doing. I just had a rack of Bianca dresses that I would wear in New York.
Right.
There was a couple of things, like the black and white dress was only different because that was my skirt from this Evita dress that I had that I just made a black bodice quickly for that. And we never know what order things are going to be in. So it was just kind of like, this is what I got. This is what I'm filling the time with.
Did you pull any?
The dress we made, when we made that blue, when I made that blue dress that Bob Mackie hated, literally, I had a yard and a half. You know, the supplies are shit. So I had a yard and a half of just blue. That was it. So I couldn't do anything else with it.
Did you bring anything from the costume house you worked at that was like big bowls or?
No, because we don't keep stuff. We make it and it goes out to them. So it becomes the Broadway or the theater stuff. So no, I wish it did.
The Untucked this week, Brendonna explains why he threw up in the heels and in the drag. It's just challenging, and she couldn't take it. And
now,
she said,
that makes sense.
But she was also upset because it's hard to be told you're not pretty.
It is. But the heels thing really makes sense because when you're standing still for a long time in heels, it's very hard on your whole body.
It's easier to move, yeah. Like, keep moving, keep dancing, keep a beat.
And walk and do anything, but standing in one place. He should have just, he had a full-length gown on. He should have just taken the shoes off. See.
You can't leave the blood a chance to pool. You got to keep it moving and circulating.
Exactly.
He does have a nice change of heart, though. He says, maybe I can go into the locker room and tell people about this experience and they will accept gays.
Which was really nice to see. Darian's daughter is being an instigator backstage. She's telling Adore that she needs to learn how to sew. And she's really just, she's the star of Untucked. She's feeling it.
She loves it. Bianca's bride says they want to hire her to come do everyone's makeup. I don't get it.
I wouldn't want to go to that wedding. The whole bridal party in Bianca Del Rio mugs.
Oh, God.
I mean, I would literally, it would be horrifying.
That's a nightmare wedding to Satan. Adore
would be stunning.
Gets a message from her mom that's basically to light your fire. Honey, you're going to lip sync, so we're going to put a mom message in.
Yeah.
They placed that.
That happens.
They definitely chose when to show that.
And then we see Bianca winning her trip to Hawaii, and then she turns to Darian and says, "Beats Florida. That didn't you win that?" Such a cunt.
Cunty,
I love her.
Cunty.
Such a bitch.
We are too, though, sometimes. Thank you so much for joining
Ooh,
us.
Ooh, me, Roo, never.
Ooh, kissy Christmas, Roo, Roo.
Ooh, Roozy Q.
Race Chaser. Classy.
What?
Thank
you. Even sentence?
Yeah, so I just chose to keep going.
Thank
you so much. We didn't want to waste such a viewer's time.
Oh my God.
Thank you, Chicago.
Thank you, Chicago. Thank you so much for joining us for Race Chaser Classy this week.
I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska.
And we would love for you to write a review of our podcast on your podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe. Because if you didn't do it last week, I told you then too. And every other week before it. So do it. And then rate us.
Exactly. And you can follow the dolls at Willem at the Only Alaska 5000. Our Race Chaser account is at Race Chaser Pod. Our Mom Podcast account is at Mom Podcast.
Blues. We have Plus. Check out our bonus Plus content available at patreon.com/Willem. And you can search for all the Race Chaser stuff by searching Race Chaser in the search box and then just scroll down and watch them all. They're great. For only $1.
Yeah. And send us an email anytime at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us why this episode is the Forbidden Lost episode.
Forbidden. Stay safe. Get the facts. Respect each other out in the world.
We're not forbidden anymore.
It's fun. We'll be back next week with more not forbidden content. That's right. We're going to do all the episodes whether you like it or not.
We're going to take a break on that one. Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and or copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser with Alaskan Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.